It's 12:09. This is WGN. Terry, I'm going to introduce you here in a second on the radio. We're live on the air right now, but I hope you're appreciating the theme song.
I'm giggling. Can you hear me laughing? New theme song. I love it.
12:09 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. That's his deft touch there. Last week, we had Terry Savage on, and normally we'll play a song that sings about money, I need a dollar, that sort of thing. And Terry said, that song is wrong for this show in this era. We need something that speaks more to the heartbreak that people are going through, and I can't get no satisfaction is a nod to you, Terry. TerrySavage.com. You can visit her online. You can read her in the Tribune, and she joins us Wednesdays here at WGN. If you've got a question or comment for the finance columnist, now's your chance to call 312-981-7200. Terry and I will talk a little bit about the big picture, and then we'll go to your calls. Terry, I can't make sense of it. I keep getting the sense that businesses are going to be long and slow in coming back. The markets still do relatively well.
And this is really one of those astounding moments where, you know, there's two great things you learn early on. I learned them many, many, many years ago on the trading floors. The first one is don't fight the Fed. And the Fed is printing a lot of money, liquidity. I know it's supposed to go to people and businesses, but the fact is that it's maybe stalled out a little bit. That's why I can't get no satisfaction. Should be dedicated to both the IRS and to the Illinois Department of Employment Security, by the way, because we can't get very much satisfaction from them, although I do have some news later. But going back to the market, you don't fight the Fed. The Fed's creating liquidity. A lot of that is pushing into the market. Number two, the market is always right. And the market can stay what you call long, longer than you can stay long is the corollary to that. If you don't, just don't fight the market. The market is what it is. It's where money agrees to disagree. And right now, money is optimistic that there won't be a second wave, that we will have vaccines, a couple of companies now coming out with good news. Good news about mortgage applications and home prices, people out there buying homes. And so as we reopen, there is this triumph of hope over fear, and you're seeing it in the stock market.
Do you think that that hope is unfounded?
I'm sort of holding my breath. A lot depends on your stage in life. I'm at the point where I'm not chasing any stock markets up because that's not the kind of risk I choose to take. Now, look, the Dow is down about 12% for the year still, S&P down 7%, the NASDAQ is up 4%. And we have rallied over 35% from the lows back on March 23rd. We've come back a third of the way. This is a strong market right here. And, I never know what audience I'm talking to. Right along, I said, look, if you're 20s, 30s, and 40s, keep putting your money in your 401k. Don't take it out. People who are on the verge of retirement need to think twice. Is this a risk I want to take? The question is it riskier today, up 35% from that scary day, than it was that day when it looked like it could keep going down well below 15,000? You only know in hindsight, so you just got to sort out what percent you're going to put there and not panic when things get wild.
But it's funny because you say, well, say I'm 60 years old and I want to retire when I'm 65 or 68. And I don't know if the market will recover what it lost in that amount of time. But that's not the right horizon anyway.
When you retire.
You've got to figure out how long you're going to be alive, right?
Exactly. Let me make another key point. There's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks with dividends reinvested, and that's even adjusted for inflation. By definition, that's like the S&P 500 stock fund, which is available in everyone's 401k or IRA at no cost of S&P 500 index fund. There's never been a 20-year period from 29 to 49, 52 to 72. Every one of those 20-year periods, you've had a gain. So the real issue is you're going to retire at 65. The actuarial statistics say you're going to live 20 years, maybe 25, maybe 30 years. And in fact, if you want to know, Go to a website called Living2100, L-I-V-I-N-G, the number 2100.com. And you check out what your life expectancy is based on how much you exercise and eat and vegetables and so forth. You'll be surprised. So you need a portion of your money invested in stocks because stocks always beat inflation. And with all this money printing, maybe stocks are anticipating that.
I'm looking at where the Dow was. So on March 20th and 21st, right around there, it was at 18.5. Now we're over 25,000. Granted, that's just the Dow, but it's a fair enough arbiter or indice. So index. So we've picked up 7,000 points since.
Exactly. Now, not all stocks. You know, the indexes have been led higher by the tech. It's very interesting what's happening today. I usually don't get into the weeds too much, but what led the NASDAQ, for instance, up 4% for the year was the big stocks that Amazon, Netflix, and so forth that dominate that index and that benefited hugely from the stay-at-home movement. Today, they're rotating out of those stocks, and I saw earlier Carnival Cruise Lines was up 10% from a very low level. All I'm saying is that's not something I want to speculate on, but people do. That's okay. I used to speak on cruises for some of the mutual fund companies. You couldn't pay me enough to go on a cruise, but I've felt that way for 5 or 10 years.
You need to say that up front, because guess what, Terry? I am supposed to be on a cruise to Italy in October.
And I'm going to make you a dinner bet.
I will happily go if that ship sails, but you're going to bet me what?
Oh, I'm going to bet a dinner that you don't go.
Or that it doesn't sail.
That it doesn't sail.
Yeah.
But maybe it does. Wow. I'd have to think long and hard. I honestly don't think there's enough money to put me on it. In fact, I'm sure of it. I could tell you that.
Well, thanks for that, Terry. It's 12:16 on WGN.
I had no idea, John. Sorry.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. All the lines are busy. No one's surprised. 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. Terry Savage is here to take your calls. You can visit with her at terrysavage.com. Lots of articles, lots of posts, lots of good links to helpful information. She joins us, of course, Wednesdays here on WGN. Terry, as we go to your calls, I just wanted to not correct you, but maybe get you to clarify something for me. I was just looking at the trend, and again, we've just been talking about the Dow. We should probably talk about the S&P, but the Dow was in February, the third week of February, at 29.5. In the third week of March, it was down to 18.5, so it lost about 11,000 points. Today, it's at 25.2, so it's picked up about 7. So we lost 11,000. We've gained 7,000 back from
It's up 35% from its lows. I'm not a mathematician, but that's an absolute fact. The Dow is now up 35% from its low. I used to have that taped to my screen. It was 15,230 or something like that was the low on March 23rd. So it is up 35% from there, according to the CNBC and so forth.
I'm not a mathematician either. I'm just looking at these numbers here. I don't mean to confuse things. I do want to take some calls. We're going to start with Mike, who had a question about inheritance taxes, I think. Mike, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi, good morning, good afternoon. My father passed away in late 2019, and he left me, just shy of a couple $100,000. And I'm hesitant to cash the checks because I'm not aware of inheritance tax laws in the state of Illinois. And I was wondering.
You're way below the inheritance tax level, but let me ask you a question. Was what he left you inside an IRA by any chance?
Now, the executrix gave me two checks. One is a personal check of his. I'm not sure where the money was from, probably bonds and things like that I know he was into. And the other is like a official check from TCS.
From a bank or from, was it about of a retirement plan?
Okay,
here's the deal. I won't take up too much time. You need to call the executor. If that money, some of the money anyway, was in an IRA, you must quickly call Fidelity or Vanguard, 1-800-FIDELITY, 1-800-VANGUARD. And within the window of receiving that check, you need to roll it over into an inherited IRA, and that executor is guilty of malfeasance if he doesn't tell you to do that, because that'll save you income taxes on an IRA distribution or 401k distribution or a pension distribution. If you're allowed to roll it over, you should. It'll keep growing tax deferred. There'll be some rules down the road about when you have to start making withdrawals based on whether he had started regular withdrawals. It gets a little complicated, but Fidelity or Vanguard will handle that for you. So you need, first of all, to check back to the executor. You don't owe any income taxes on the inheritance, but you could save some income taxes on money that came from a retirement plan. So do check that out right away.
One last question.
Before you cash the check or deposit it.
Mike, how old are you? Do you mind answering that?
I'm 59 years old.
59. I'm just wondering what you would suggest he do with a couple hundred grand that drops in his
Well, head. I can't do that either. That's like saying, what's your temperature? Oh, it's 99. Well, I mean, is it down from 103 or what? Part of this is, if this is a windfall, part of this, first thing I would do is pay off debt, not necessarily a mortgage debt, but any credit card you have, debt that you have that's 14 or 17 or 29%, I'd pay that off with the money that's not part of a retirement account. And if you're rolling into a retirement account right here, I'd actually put it all in a money market to start, and let's say it was $100,000, I'd move immediately $20,000 into the S&P 500 fund and tell them on the 1st and 15th of every month to move $5,000, no matter what the market was doing, into the S&P 500 fund until you got up to about 50 or 60%. And that's presuming you don't have another immediate need for the money.
Mike, thanks for the call. Good luck to you on that. Sound advice from Terry Savage. Karen had a question, and I think every show we will take this call, and I don't mind it one bit. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, my name really is Karen. I'm not that Karen, but I am a Karen.
Exactly.
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. I got on the IRS.gov website. They were lacking some information to be my bank account number for my stimulus check. I entered that number. I checked back in about a week. They stated that my stimulus check would be deposited in my account on the 13th of May, which would coincide with my Social Security check, that time frame. And 2 weeks later, I still haven't received it in my account. I did call my bank, and they have no record of it either.
Okay. Well, I just got off the phone with the IRS this morning, updating a lot of things. And one of them was, where are you in getting out Social Security checks? He said, we are nearing the end. And they have, in fact, they gave a state-by-state release. They've paid out $9 billion to Illinois residents in one form or another. I would wait a week or two to make sure that it just, you know, it's like waiting for your suitcase to come off the rack at the airport. Somebody's got to be last. If not, keep your eye out in the mail for a plain white envelope. I know this sounds like an opening of a joke. When they didn't have immediate information on bank deposit information, the IRS just recently decided we're going to send out cards, VIP cards, it'll look like, and it's literally a plain white envelope. We're just discussing this because they have such constraints about printing checks. Now, I think as a Social Security recipient, 99% chance that you will get it in the next couple of weeks in your bank account. But to everybody else, who even, particularly tax filers, they had your address, but if you hadn't put in direct deposit information, they took a whole bunch of, he said it was a broad swath. They just decided to take people whose addresses they had and send out these cards. Again, I don't think that'll happen to you on Social Security, but anybody else, don't just throw that out and think it's an ad for a new credit card, you know, or one of those come-ons, because that's, you have to, it has instructions in there about how to activate the card, and that's where your stimulus will come.
Karen, good luck to you. Interesting. So a debit card's going to arrive in the mail. That's not a scam. Treat that as the real thing.
Yeah, exactly. Plain white envelope. No kidding.
Bobby, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. What's your question, Bobby?
Well, I have some information. I received my check in through my bank via Social Security, and I got it on the last Wednesday in April. I'm on the payment. I'm on the schedule where you get it according to where your birthday is. So when I checked on the third Wednesday of the month, it wasn't there. And when I was checking the bank on the following Wednesday, it wasn't there. And then I called the bank on the 29th in the late evening to check the balance. And when I punched transactions, it said ACH, $1,200, IRS. Then later when I run a mini statement, it just says ACH $1,200. Yesterday I got my checking account statement, and I looked to see how it's on the statement. On the checking account, it says $1,200 IRS tax refund. Now, I have a friend who didn't know about it, and...
I'm sorry, but what's the takeaway from this, that I should check the transactions tab on my account, or what is your point?
I called the bank using the automated system to, you know, check my checking account balance, and when I hit the mark for last 10 transactions, first thing that popped up on the 29th of April was the check. It said it was from the IRS, and then when I get my statement yesterday, the checking account, it was identified as IRS tax refund.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing. Nobody cares what the label on it is as long as they get their money. And the way they had to do this, and I'm going to give you all some interesting new information. Have we got a minute here? Yeah, we have 1 minute exactly, don't we? All right. Yep. It shows, because the government wasn't set up to get gifts out to people, literally, and you know, that they couched this in tax language. But listen to this. Many people have called me, and that's why it says tax refund. Now, many people have called me and said, they used my 2018 return. I didn't file 2019. In 2018, I was only not entitled to maybe half the stimulus or no stimulus. But if they had waited and got my 2019, I would have gotten the full stimulus. What can I do? What can I do? So I just spent a long time on the phone with the IRS and explaining to me that once they made the decision, 2018 or 2019, you're stuck right now. That's all the check or deposit you're going to get. However, when you file your 2020 return, which will be next April, and if you have any taxes owed, let's just say you got laid off and all you got was unemployment, which, by the way, is taxable, and you owe about $3,000 or $4,000 in taxes. Maybe you're filing quarterly and putting money in. Most people don't even know to do that. You will get a credit for the correct amount of the stimulus based on 2018. If they paid you too little based on 2018 and they didn't look at 2019, you can claim a credit for the difference between what you got and $1,200. Or if you didn't get any, but 2019 income was just disastrous, you can then get your credit on the 2020 when you file on 2021 on the 2020 return. Now, that's complicated. But what I'm saying is, if you think you didn't get enough, or if they missed your children or something like that, you will apply for credit in April 2021, next year, when you file your 2020 return. So there is some hope for all of you who got the wrong amounts, and it's running through the tax system that way. Let's not worry about it now, because next year I'll be on the show, God willing, John, and we'll be talking about filing your spring tax returns and how to apply for credit if you didn't get, quote, enough stimulus. Keep the paper. When you get a letter from the government, even though they direct deposit your stimulus payment, you must get a letter by mail. That's by law. Keep that paper. That's your proof of what you actually got. And if it wasn't enough or you didn't get anything, you're going to be able to use that letter as proof, especially if you got a letter because you got a stimulus, that you didn't get enough when it comes time to going for that credit. And that takes us to the commercial, right?
It does. And by the way, after a break, we'll do the news here. 12:34, this is WGN. Terry Savage joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch on Wednesdays. And yeah, it's Wednesday. Remember, it's a little complicated these days because, A, we had Memorial Day on Monday. Tuesday felt like Monday. Plus, frankly, nobody knows what day it is anymore. There's basically daylight and dark. So it's daylight and Terry is on the radio. And about this time next week, she will join us again. You can find her at terrysavage.com. She's in the Tribune and she joins us on WGN Radio. All right, Terry, lots more questions and calls for you. Ready to take a few more with us?
Ready to go.
Let's start with Pat. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Go ahead, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, Terry. I'm an Uber driver, and we learned from you. We've been trying to we've been putting a process in since March, but we found from you that we had to wait till the pandemic. So we put one in, we applied for unemployment, and we keep getting different things about on hold. It's on hold. and it asked for a 1099, which we sent. Now it asked for a 1099-G, which we didn't do 2019 yet. And it just keeps saying, hold, on hold, on hold. But we did start applying for it in March when we stopped working.
So you officially applied and were turned down. Start for a second. Did you officially apply to the regular traditional unemployment at IDES and get turned down, or did you not do that yet?
No, we did that.
You did that. You got turned down, and then you moved over to the PUA site?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and you did that, and now you're on hold?
Well, it keeps saying payment on hold. It says weekly benefits, balance available, and then it says on hold. Then it said, could we have your 1099? So we sent it from last year, and now it's asking for a 1099-G, which we don't have.
Pat, send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. Describe your situation.
terry@terrysavage.com.
Not everybody.
And say, I'm the one that was on with WGN Radio. I'm Pat, and Terry will investigate this for you.
1,000 people will send me. I never know if anything, you know, I never know if anything I forward on gets any attention. But actually, I feel pretty good. I don't know if it was my benefit, but some people have written back saying, yeah, they did. I got it. So
the
that
IRS
always makes
took
my day.
Call. The IRS took your call. You're somebody.
Not the IRS. Illinois Department of Homeland Security. I get nowhere with the IRS. I actually, you'll get a kick out of this, John, sent an email to, and it didn't bounce back because I know they're, I found out the middle initial of the commissioner. I did some research. And about a few weeks back, I told him about this terrible thing that's going on with parents of people who, of SSI recipients who signed up their dependent children. And didn't get the children's benefit. And I just cut and pasted a bunch of the posts from my terrysavage.com blog and sent them to the head guy at the IRS saying, do you know about this? I haven't gotten a response, but I did not get a bounce back. And my contact at the IRS says, yeah, we know about this. So in that particular case. But I never know if I do any good or not.
So that's about like my son, who I claimed as a dependent, doesn't get a check even though he graduated college.
No, that's a different story.
Oh.
The law was written. I was just talking to him, the media contact, about what a crazy way that was to write it. He said, that's the way they wrote it. Yeah, I got that. But in this case, I'm telling you, my name got posted on a Facebook group and I got swamped with people. People who get their benefits, SSI, you know, the low-income benefits, and many people who get Social Security disability income, many of those people have minor children under 17 who do qualify. And the government couldn't figure out a way to find out about these children except to have them go on the free file form and say, yep, I get SSDI. I know it's coming automatically on my card, but I have three little kids and they're worth $500 each, and here's their names and information. But people got their $1,200, but none of the money for the children who they filed on time. There was a short deadline, and now they're all up in the air. And I've been trying to push that to the IRS every single week, twice a week I call.
Well, I know we all appreciate that, but I'm also kind of curious about Steve's situation. I know plenty of people in that boat, but they would not apply for unemployment compensation because they were never working. They're recent college grads.
Oh, yeah. No, they're just out of luck.
So really, should they be eligible for $1,200?
That's not the way the law was written. I don't know who, you know, they did that. Remember the CARES Act? It was...
They need E2. I mean, maybe they're living in their mom and dad's basement, but the idea is to give money into the economy and help people get along.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just telling you that if you were over 16, even if you were living in the basement and a senior in high school, if you were in college and your parents are paying all your expenses, if you ran away from home, but your parents declared you as a dependent, and you were over 16, it says 17, but really it's anybody who is over 16, you don't get qualified to send $500 to your parents. And by the way, a lot of grandmas were declared as dependents by their adult children. They didn't care. Yeah, I'm living in their home, or they're taking care of me, or adding to my Social Security. So the adult children took these older seniors as dependents. Well, they didn't get their checks either.
But so if that recent college grad does not get this $1,200 stimulus, you may have just answered this, Terry, but do the parents get to claim that kid and get $500
for them?
No, you just said no.
No, they
so that person is a not person in this whole recovery for
some. It's a non-person. Now, look, if you're a college grad, let's just say he's not even a college grad, Steve, I don't know how old your son is, but so he's 19 or 20, 21, and last year he worked in the student health system or in the student, whatever it is.
Bookstore.
And filed a tax return and was independent. He would get a stimulus check. If you didn't declare him as a dependent. In fact, even if he didn't do any work last year, let's put it this way now that I think about it. If you hadn't declared him as a dependent on your tax return, you just forgot to. He could have filed in the non-filers form and said, I'm not a dependent on anyone else's return. I want my $1,200, and he would have gotten it.
That window is closed?
Closed.
Somebody...
Well, then it's closed because they used your 2018 or 2019 tax return, and you declared him as a dependent.
But if I really wanted it, I could file an amended return. And
I told people to do that at the very beginning, the first weeks this came out.
But
I think it's too late now. I just don't think. Now, if you haven't filed your 2019 return, remember I just mentioned that I just got off the phone with the IRS? If you have not filed your 2019 return, don't declare him as a dependent. I mean, I'm squiggling around here. In the letter of the law, if you don't declare him as a dependent, when you file, you can't claim anything. But when he files a return for 2020, he should earn some income. For some reason to file a return or a non-file a return, if he paid taxes, he might get a credit. He won't get a stimulus payment, but if he owes at least $1,000 or $1,200 in taxes, theoretically he could get that as a credit against any taxes he owes for 2020.
One last text, John. We received a stimulus check for roughly $450. We don't qualify for a stimulus check. This couple's made more than, $150,000. What should we do? They got $450 just fell in their mail.
You know, this is very weird. A lot of people have gotten checks that they and weird amounts as well. I think we're going to wait. I'm going to say to you, wait until the dust settles. If it was an actual check, there is at the IRS.gov website a place where you can return checks. If not, you can deposit it. And next year, when tax filing comes, the answer is, it's hard to give the government money back, though they want the checks back from the deceased. I think that might be litigated, so I'm on hold on that question. And wrong checks and overpayments, I don't know how to handle it. I know you're a good-hearted, honest person. The best thing I can say is leave them alone so they can get the checks out to the people who do need it, and we'll deal with the $450 next year. They're not going to put you in jail.
Literally, don't give the IRS more work. Don't send it back to the federal government.
Exactly. They're already overwhelmed.
All right, so put it in savings and don't spend it.
Exactly. And you'll figure out a way to give it back. I know you want to be honest and have integrity and get it back, but let's just leave them alone to get the money out to people like Karen who still hasn't gotten hurt.
I still don't think it's so crazy to just spend the money willy-nilly and churn it into the economy. I'm being 100% serious with you.
That, no, I know you are.
I think that's a reasonable pass-through, and yeah, I'm lucky for it, but Lordy, we got 300 million people just trying to get the economy going.
Go out to dinner at a restaurant so they can hire back some of the white staff.
I honestly think that's not such a bad thing to do. TerrySavage.com. TerrySavage.com. Okay, Terry, as always.
Thanks, John.
Thanks
See
for
you next
your time.
Week.
Yeah, I hope we've helped some folks there. Sponsored by T-Mobile for Business. Visit TMobileForBusiness.com. They sponsor today's Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Boeing and Airbus have a common problem. People are worried about flying. The Wall Street Journal says the two are working with experts to study how the coronavirus behaves inside jetliners. The CBOE says it expects to reopen open its Chicago trading floors on June 8th. That's a week later than an earlier plan. They've been closed since March 16th, and when they do reopen, they expect only half the traders to return. Chicago Inno says Chicago-based password management company Keeper Security hit a major milestone this week, 1 million paying customers. Keeper is a maker of password management software for people and businesses. The sudden increase in remote working has helped fuel sales. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.
See, Bertrand's got some market numbers.
Yeah, mixed numbers today. The Dow is up 247 points. The NASDAQ is down 41. Now, that's off its low. The S&P 500 picked up a little bit, up 10.
Here's Orion Samuelson with the agribusiness scene.
And the numbers in the agricultural trade, mixed. At the Board of Trade, first of all, at the moment, the July wheat contract is down 4.5 cents a bushel. That puts it at $5.25. The July corn contract is up 0.75 cents at $3.19¾. The July soybean contract is up 2.5 cents at $8.49¼. Turning to livestock trade, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the June lean hog contract, down 27 cents a hundredweight at $60.22. The June live cattle contract is up 92 cents, trading at $100.30 a hundredweight. And the August feeder cattle contract is up $0.50 at $133.85. Because of the Memorial Day holiday and federal offices closed, we didn't get our weekly planting progress reports from the USDA until yesterday. So here are those numbers. The nation's corn crop, 88% planted as of Sunday night. Illinois, 89%. Indiana, 80%. Iowa with 97% of its corn acres planted, and Wisconsin with 90%. Soybeans, 65% of the nation's soybean acreage planted as of Sunday night. In Illinois, 65%. Indiana, 66%. Iowa, 92%. And Wisconsin, 79% of its soybean acres planted as of Sunday night. And the other advice I can give you, because I'm getting a lot of emails saying, is our county fair going to be held? Is our state FFA convention going to be held? Best advice I can give you is get in touch with your county 4-H office, the county extension office, and ask them about the county fair in your county. And if you're living in any of the Midwest states, contact your FFA state office to find out the details on what's going to happen with the state FFA conventions. That's Your Money on 720 WGN.
Jay Goltz is a small business advocate and owner of Jason Home and Artist Frame Services. We've been featuring the travails, if you will, of a lot of small and medium businesses on the Wintrust Business Lunch since COVID-19 hit. We thought we'd ask Jay not only for his personal experience, but some of the things he's been blogging about, too. Jay, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Great. Or I shouldn't say great. We're holding our own here, I should say.
Yeah, that's the idea. Where's your business located?
Artist Frame Service is at 1867 Clybourne, and Jason Home is next door at 1885 Clybourne.
So what do you mean we're hanging in there? How are you doing your business?
Well, my home store has a big outdoor lot, and we sell plants. So as soon as the plants came in, we were able to open, because we do sell to landscapers and such, so we were allowed to open that business. My framing business, which, we have a store in Highland Park and down by on Wells, and Clybourne, we haven't been able to open yet because we're still under the, restrictions. So I've got 50-some people sitting at home waiting to come back to work.
Have you been able to compensate them in any way during this time?
I got the PPP, which has absolutely been a lifeline, and it's still tricky because you still got other expenses going on. And, I've been in business since 1978. I've been through four or five recessions, September 11th, and this is the first time we've been completely shut down, and it causes problems. I mean, you you have no cash flow coming in. The PPP thing absolutely was a lifesaver, but I got to get open at some point.
So how does that work then, the PPP with 50 employees? You get a sum of money that you then distribute to your employees, right?
Well, I actually have 110 employees altogether. So, yes, I got a check, and we took them off of unemployment because that's what you're supposed to do. And I've been paying the employees to sit home. And the key is that you can't use more than 75% of the money for anything but labor. So we've done that, and that leaves you with the other 25%. You can pay for your, you know, mortgage interest or rent expense, utilities. So it does get you through a couple of months. The problem is it's now we're getting into, you know, I've been shut down since the end of March. It's going on way longer than anybody expected. So at some point, the money's going to run out.
Did the money appear magically in your checking account, or did you get a check in the mail?
No, it was pretty magical, I have to say. It just showed up, and, you know, it took a few days longer than we were expecting, but, you know, I can't complain. I did get the money ultimately, and it did just show up in the checking account.
I mean, as much as we are watching how these programs are working and sometimes critical of it, I'm glad to hear that at least it did in your case, for the time being, what it was supposed to do.
I can assure you, I talked to a lot of people, it helped out a whole lot of people. So anyone who's criticizing it probably wasn't one of the ones that were in the situation. I wouldn't be so quick to criticize it. It has been a lifesaver for a lot of businesses. And I've also read where some entrepreneurs were afraid of taking the money. They don't want any more debt. And I can't think of one reason why you wouldn't take the money, because at the end of the day, if you don't end up using it, you send it back. And if you end up using it and you needed it, it could have kept you in business. And then I guess the third category is you took the money, you used it for other stuff,
right?
And you still went, you still closed your business. You're not signing personally for it. So it really, I can't think of a reason why somebody shouldn't take the money. I'm afraid that people have an aversion to debt, which is unfortunate because, yes, companies that go broke frequently have too much debt, but companies that go broke also sometimes don't have any cash, which they would have had if they had some debt. So debt gets a bad reputation. It certainly sometimes deserves it, but sometimes it's a lifeline.
You created your own stress test for businesses, right?
Yes.
I got 3 minutes. Tell me what you want, what other businesses should know based on your positive experience.
I would say the first question is, did you have a healthy business before this hit? If you didn't, I think you're going to have some problems. But in our case, we have a very loyal following at both Jason Home and Artist Frame Service for years. And our customers, when we opened up the plant thing, we had lots of customers waiting for us, so we feel good about that. Two is, does the company have some legal obligations? Do they have partners, investors, your landlord who maybe wants to get you out of your space? That could be a big problem. In my case, I have very purposely not taken an investor money, and I own most of the properties. Three, are you worn out? I mean, some people have had it, and I respect that. Maybe they have enough money. Maybe they just have gotten older. Maybe they just don't want to. They just don't have the desire to do it anymore. There is a point to where maybe it makes sense to say, you know, I've had enough and closed. Fourth, the question is, do you have any key employees that are still with you that could leave, that if they left would really cripple your business? There are some companies that are very dependent on a few people. And the last question is, what resources do you have left? Do you have any cash left? Do you have real estate that's paid off that you could get a loan on perhaps? Do you have inventory you can live off of? And any one of those four items, any one of those five items could put you out of business. And I do think there's going to be plenty of people that are going to survive this. You know, the people that are out there saying, oh, half the restaurants are going to be gone, I don't know where they got the basis for that number. But the fact of the matter is, I always quote actually Kevin Costner from Robin Hood, one man defending his homeland is worth more than 10 hired soldiers. I wouldn't underestimate the entrepreneur who this is what they do, and I think lots of them are resilient, and many of us, most of us, I would say most of us, are going to get ourselves through this. That's what we do.
Well, it's a sobering but maybe encouraging to reality check for these businesses then, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you had, you know, if you had problems before this, this could have been the final blow. There's no question. But there are lots of healthy, good businesses that provide services and products to customers that customers like and come to them for. And I don't believe this is going to wipe out small business in America. It certainly has been challenging for a lot of companies. For most, it certainly is a difficult thing to navigate. But I am confident that, for example, a restaurant, for instance, one of their biggest expenses is their rent expense. Okay, so they go to open up again, which is a problem with how many people can take in their space, but any retail business. My point is, the landlord's got a problem if they go out of business. Who's going to take that space? So the landlord, whether they like it or not, it would be in their best interest to work with the business owner to stay in business, because they could use the rent money coming in, pay their taxes. So you're not totally out there on your own. It's not going to help a landlord to have an empty space.
Jay Goltz is the founder of Jason Home, an artist frame service in Chicago, former lead blogger for the New York Times Small Business Blog. You're the Boss, and the author of The Street Smart Entrepreneur, 133 Tough Lessons I Learned the Hard Way. Sharing some wisdom here. We're going to call you again, Jay. Good luck, and thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's Jay Goltz.